Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Within the House of Representatives is apparently being led by Marjorie Taylor Greene, of all people, does tell you what you need to know about the effort. It ain't serious, folks. It's hard for Democrats to engage in a serious session. Ain't that fault, Michael? It's real hard.
It's like, I'm trying. I actually am trying. I want to help, but you put her in
Josh, help you with the secret. At least lie to us. Pretend the article that is serious.
Hey, folks. Welcome to the Michael Steele Podcast. I'm very excited about my conversation today because I got the lucky straw to be able to bring to the table leader Hakeem Jeffries. He represents the diverse 8th Congressional District of New York, and he's serving his sixth term in the United States Congress. He is the House Democratic leader, the minority leader of the House, the presumptive speaker, should they ever get the House back. Who knows? We talk a little bit about that. He was unanimously elected to that position by his colleagues in November of 2022. He previously served as chair of the House Democratic Caucus and as an impeachment manager, you may recall, during the first Senate trial of the 45th president of the United States. He was born in Brooklyn Hospital, raised in Crown Heights, grew up in the Cornerstone Baptist Church, and is, by all accounts and without doubt, a product of New York City's public school system. He lives in Brooklyn. He is Brooklyn. He's an avid Knicks fan and continues to enjoy music from the classic era of hip-hop. That's going to be on our next podcast when we kind of do the hip hop and, you know, the house music thing, because that's my vibe. So we should have some fun with that. But we do get into a lot of what's going on right now with the debt and the deficit, the economy, but most importantly, whether or not the government's going to shut down. We'll get into that. And we spend a little time on a new effort, a new book that the congressman has put out. The ABCs of Democracy is a book, an illustrated book for all ages, based on his first floor speech upon his historic elevation as House Democratic leader. So there's a lot. We get it packed in. We're now packing you in for a great conversation with Democratic House Leader Hakeem Jeffries, coming up on the Michael Steele Podcast right after this.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Well, hey, everybody. This is how I end the year, and I'm excited and stoked to have this brother on my podcast. I've admired him. I've gotten to know him over the years and watch his leadership, which actually precedes the rise. But that's a different conversation. A lot of people think, oh, look at this rising start. It's the leadership. It's the quality of the individual, their leadership. Hakeem Jeffries is that individual. Mr. Leader, welcome. I call you leader because, you know, it's not about anything other than how you do what you've done. And I appreciate you and what you bring to the game, man. Welcome to the podcast.
Great to be on the podcast. Great to be with you. And look forward to our conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, let's do a little bit of a scene setter. You're right now in the middle of negotiations with the opposition, the majority, Speaker Mike Johnson, in getting our nation's debt. Here we are again. How the hell do we keep winding up at this same spot where, oh, here we are, the clock down, you know, the countdown clock appears on the television screens showing that we've got 2 days, 3 days left before the government shuts down. A, what's the latest state of the play? And I know you've got votes coming up on that and some of those efforts soon. And B, why are we always here? Why can't we just pass a budget for the nation and run the country's, you know, economy and just get it done instead of what we're doing now?
Well, we definitely need a greater degree of certainty and common sense that can be brought to bear in the Congress. And that's something that we all need to lean into as we move forward. Part of the challenge that we have is that it's an evenly divided country, and the Congress will reflect that, particularly as it relates to some fiscal issues.
Right.
And so there have been challenges that we've encountered with some of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, many of whom I think would be okay with the government shutting down. That is not the perspective of the Speaker of the House. I think he recognizes Mike Johnson, that would be a challenge for the nation, particularly heading into a new administration. So we're working hard to find the common ground necessary in a bipartisan fashion to make sure that we keep the government open and that we fund it in a way that meets the needs of the American people in terms of their health, their safety, their national security, and their economic well-being. As of this moment, it's not my expectation that we will deal with a government shutdown during the holiday season.
All right, so that's good to know for a lot of federal employees out there and writ large the country itself, because we know what impacts that could have. But again, you just find yourself always, you know, you're going to pass a continuing resolution to sometime in the next 60, 90 days, and then you're going to be back in that space with the new administration. Before I get to the new administration, how is the current administration, President Biden, playing a role in any of this? And how do you see his legacy sort of setting up how you maneuver going into the new administration under Donald Trump?
We are providing the current administration and the White House with full and transparent visibility into what is being discussed, because ultimately, Michael, as you know, the administration, the president, will have to sign any spending agreement into law.
Right.
But they are being deferential as it relates to allowing the House and the Senate, Democrats and Republicans on both sides of the Capitol, to work through the negotiations and try to land in a bipartisan place. Everybody understands that the Republicans in the House can't move a spending agreement, even a short-term one, on their own.
Right.
And so by necessity, we either face one of two situations. Either the government's going to shut down, or Democrats and Republicans in the House are going to work together to meet the needs of the American people in terms of continuing the funding necessary to keep the government open, and perhaps more importantly, provide disaster relief and assistance to the people in Florida or Georgia or North Carolina or the Midwest or out on the West Coast and at all points in between, who've been dealing with extreme weather events and disasters that have hurt everyday Americans. And that's why it's so urgently important that we can get this done in the next few days and be there for the American people.
Yeah, that, you know, that's an interesting way to end that thought, because I think in many respects, the Democrats have been there for the American people over the last 4 years in a way that the previous administration was not. When a million Americans died because of COVID, when the economy cratered because of misjudging and in some cases overreacting without proper deference to institutionalists and you know, people who actually know how to maneuver through these tough spaces. And yet the American people on election day decided to go with crazy and basically looked at the Democrats and said, but the price of eggs and the price of gas. And so how do you now, going into the new Congress in which you will serve as minority leader and be under our system, the loyal opposition, effectively rebuild the brand and reimagine the relationship between the American people and the Democratic Party in the face of authoritarian rule? What the what this incoming president is doing, Leader Jeffries, at this point, is he's intimidating the media with these phony lawsuits, right? The most recent being suing the pollster in Iowa and the Iowa newspaper in which her poll appeared, because he didn't like the result, which said that, you know, Kamala Harris would win. But that was before voters voted, right? So polls are polls. They're not votes. The settlement with ABC and George Stephanopoulos, using that as a wedge as well. How do you position the party in the face of a political operation that's asymmetrical, doesn't give a damn about the rules that you care about, doesn't give a damn about the processes that you would have to follow in your roles. And yet, and still, you have to try to govern just as they do and level up your party in a way that you can be competitive in Virginia and New Jersey this next November, where you've got two governorships on the line. And that's going to be sort of a bellwether potentially for 26. And then, of course, trying to reclaim the House in 26 itself.
We have to do two things at once. One, respect the will of the American people in terms of the outcome of the election and work hard to find bipartisan common ground with the incoming administration to solve problems on behalf of the American people. In particular, I think the most powerful narrative that emerged from this most recent election is that the American people want us to work together to lower the high cost of living. It is way too high. Grocery prices are too high. Gas prices have been too high. Child care costs are too high. And housing costs are certainly too high. And as a result, the American dream of home ownership has been out of reach for far too many people.
But how do you find that? I don't mean to cut you off, sir, but how do you find that bipartisanship when that's not what you're going to get from Republicans? They don't want to do bipartisanship.
That doesn't play. They haven't wanted to do bipartisanship since Mitt Romney in 2012.
So that would fall on them.
Why are you playing by rules that they're not playing by? They don't give a damn about bipartisanship. But I'm saying that as someone who's still inside the party.
Yeah. Well, listen, I think that the American people don't want us to give up on governing. Otherwise, there's just a permanent political campaign and there's never any space to solve problems on behalf of the American people. So as the loyal opposition, it is important to make clear that we are willing to try to find the common ground necessary to get things done, while at the same time standing firm on our values, protecting Social Security, protecting Medicare, protecting a woman's freedom to make her own reproductive health care decisions, protecting our veterans, protecting the progress that we've made as it relates to the climate crisis, and certainly protecting our institutions, our ideals, and our democracy. And we're going to be called upon to do both. Now, what's interesting is that there is no big, massive mandate emerging from this election.
Yeah, not with 1.9% of the voter vote.
Right. To jam far-right policies down the throats of the American people. And that's the alternative. Either you have a massive mandate to go hard right, you don't, or the American people have said, work together to solve problems on our behalf, which we've got to be good faith actors in trying to get that done. Uh-huh. And if the other side fails to reciprocate, to your point, Michael, then it's all my Republican colleagues. And I believe there will be a price to pay in New Jersey, in Virginia, in November of 2025, and thereafter during the midterm elections.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Well, folks, the holiday season is in full swing, and if you're anything like me, you've been frantically searching to find just the right gifts for your friends and family. And let me tell you, from experience, it can be pretty overwhelming to get that right gift, because that's what I do. I always try to make sure I'm getting gifts that people want to have. This year, I found the perfect spot for timeless gifts made from premium materials. You've got to check out Quince, folks. No doubt about it. Quince lets you treat yourself and your loved ones to true quality at an affordable price. Something everyone needs in their closet, in my humble opinion, Quince's iconic Mongolian cashmere sweaters, which start at $50, just $50. Their super soft fleece sweatpants are a major upgrade to whatever you're lounging in right now. Trust me on that. And their packable puffer jackets, well, they're perfect for anyone who's traveling for the holidays. And I know a lot of you are going to be traveling for the holidays. No matter what you're looking for, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And by partnering directly with top factories and cutting out the cost of the middleman, Quince passes that savings on to you. Plus, you should know that Quince is on the nice list. Yes, indeed. They only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And they use premium fabrics and finishes for that luxury feel in every piece they make. I order from Quince, and you should too. Gift luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/steal for 365-day returns, plus free shipping on your order. That's quince.com/steal to get free shipping and 365-day returns. That's incredible. quince.com/steal. Okay, so I mean, a few more of this because I do want to get to the ABCs of Democracy, which is a great little book, and I want to talk about that and how that really is an interesting conversation that you have there. All right, so I get what you're saying there, and I understand it. One of the things that I would think tactically you may want to consider, and Democrats generally may want to consider, is I can tell you right now what's going to happen, sir. You're going to have this economy continue to do what it's doing, and it's been good for a lot of people. And it finally sort of settles in across the swaths of America that still believe that gas and egg prices are too high, and they realize, oh, they're not as high as they were. Donald Trump is going to claim credit for that by virtue of just being elected, by virtue of being inaugurated, by virtue of sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. The whole world now is 10 times better than it was under Biden. Part of that strategy has got to include not just what you just said, but relating it back to foundationally saying, this is why we passed the infrastructure bill. This is why we passed the CHIPS Act. This is why, with Republicans that Donald Trump told not to vote for those things, we did. Republicans who voted against it showed up at the groundbreaking ceremony for the new road construction in your community. And I think that begins to challenge the notion of the narrative that's going to be coming from the right that says all things sunshiny and perfect, we did, and all the crap on your shoes, the Democrats put there for you to step in.
You're absolutely correct that my Republican colleagues are going to take credit for everything that President Biden, Vice President Harris, and Democrats in the House and Senate were able to effectively do for the American people, from infrastructure to the CHIPS and Science Act to capping the price of out-of-pocket expenses for prescription drugs as it relates to tens of millions of Medicare recipients at $2,000 per year, which will be life-changing for so many people. And that will take effect on January 1st of next year, capping the cost of insulin at $35 a month for millions of Americans, bringing domestic manufacturing jobs back home to the country, standing up for our veterans, and in so many other areas. But this is not a new phenomenon. Donald Trump inherited Barack Obama's economy and the progress that had been made to pull us out of the Great Recession and put us on a positive trajectory. Took credit for that economy, but still lost 40 seats in the midterm election in November of 2018, mm-hmm. when the people faced the choice of crazy on the one hand and common sense on the other, and Republican overreach, which in that instance took the form of trying to take away the Affordable Care Act. My Republican colleagues have a choice. They can overreach by believing their own hype that they have some big mandate to make massive changes, or they can try to solve problems. And many of them aren't interested, as you've pointed out, in trying to actually deliver real results for everyday Americans. And it will fall on us to point that out as we move forward if the course of inaction and obstruction and a lack of productivity is followed. The other point that I'd make is that for the last 4 years, many of my Republican colleagues have followed the path of complain and blame.
Right.
Complain about challenges that the American people are facing and blame Joe Biden and Democrats for everything. You can't do that when you have the House, the Senate, and the presidency.
It is harder. So leading into that, you've got right now a very interesting development with the farm bill. Mike Johnson finds himself a little bit squeezed from some of his Republican colleagues regarding the bill itself. They've not been able to secure agreement around the economic aid to farmers. By the way, that's socialism for you MAGA people out there who think the government shouldn't be doing those kinds of things. Oh, I guess that's okay if they do it. It's not socialism if they do it. If you did it, It's socialism all day long. So we know that narrative. Are you sitting back on that and just getting y'all need to work that out? Or are you sort of, you know, having a little fun around the edges?
We want to make sure that we take care of farm country because there are real challenges there, but also do it in a way as part of a broader package that addresses the needs of hardworking Americans all across America, including in urban America and suburban America, and of course, rural America, but small town America and the heartland of America as well. So if we can only land this plane, so to speak, legislatively, as a result of significant Democratic votes, then the values that we believe should be reflected in that legislative product, because it makes sense for the broadest number of everyday Americans, right, have to be part of a final agreement. And that's the position that we've taken. If they want to go it alone, go it alone, but we know they can't do it. And so we have to take care of the broadest number of Americans within farm country and beyond. And as it relates to assistance to farmers, the one point that we've made as Democrats, both in the House and the Senate, and Lita Schumer has been strong on this point, is that we want to help small and medium family farms, mm-hmm, not just the massive corporate conglomerates. And any final agreement by necessity is going to have to be done in a way that the relief can go to the people who need it most. And we believe that small farmers, newer farmers, younger farmers, and those who are outside of the corporate conglomerates.
Yeah. The farming community has been devastated. I know here in Maryland, our farming and waterman communities have felt real impacts. The threats now that will be realized on the heels of mass deportations by the incoming administration, Stephen Miller and his stupid trying to round up people, thinking that, oh yeah, we're just going to grab 11 million people and yank them out of the economy, and y'all going to do the jobs, right? Who going to do those jobs? So This focus on the farm aid, the assistance to farmers is important. Just as we saw in the last Trump administration when they imposed tariffs that had a negative blowback, which tariffs are going to have on local economies. In that case, farmers were hurt. And what did they have to do? They had to scrounge to find socialism for those farmers, because they didn't need the farming industry in this country to collapse. So you make an excellent point about that balance and why, if you're going to play, if you want me at the table, then you need to know our concerns are going to be broadly all Americans with special interests on farmers and how we keep them integrated in the economy. That then begs one other question before we shift off of the politics of Washington, and that's DOGE. This is one of the dumbest things to ever come across the political landscape in D.C., and I grew up in D.C., so I've seen stupid. And this one takes to Kate. I particularly love your response where you just kind of like on Joy Reid's show last week, we're kind of like, yeah, okay, I don't think we're going to play with that one. What is your thoughts about the impact of DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, run by Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, two people who don't have a freaking clue what a government agency is, let alone what it does, relative to a department, relative to other areas of government? How do you see your leadership and the caucus, Democratic caucus, working in that space if this thing does stand up in some way? People out there across the country, going back to your earlier point about, you know, providing what the people want, they do think that there's some efficiencies in the government that can be had. They are more willing to accept this on face value. I think you and I know differently because we know what this is versus what it will be. What it isn't. How do you see it? I mean, how do you how do you look? Are you, I think the comment was, you know, this whole thing kind of speaks for itself, but I'll let you speak to it.
Our view is that it is certainly the case that there is some waste and some fraud and some abuse in the system that should be dealt with. That, of course, is going to be the case as it relates to any major undertaking or enterprise. And the federal government is a major enterprise. At the same period of time, federal government does incredibly important work as it relates to our national security, our infrastructure, our capacity to make sure that people can live healthy lives, including in their golden years through the administration of Social Security and Medicare, and is critically important in so many other areas. And so this all-out assault on the federal government, which within the House of Representatives is apparently being led by Marjorie Taylor Greene, of all people, does tell you what you need to know about the effort. It ain't serious, folks. When you put Marjorie Taylor Greene in charge of the effort in the House of Representatives. And so it's hard for Democrats to engage in a serious session. That's all, Michael. It's real hard.
It's like, I'm trying. I actually am trying to, I want to help, but you put her in charge.
Us help you with the effort. At least lie to us. Pretend we are told that it's serious. And we can figure out a few weeks from now that it's not. But you don't even want to pretend out of the gate because you put Marjorie Taylor Greene in charge.
Oh, that is so true. That is so, all of that is so true. Before I let you go, Congressman, because I know you got votes coming up and I want to be mindful and respectful of your schedule there. You've got this great, great book out, The ABCs of Democracy, which is an illustrated a book based on the first four speech delivered by you upon your historic elevation to the House Democratic leadership. Talk about the book and what you want folks to really pull from that story, that very personal story.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for asking about it. It's an illustrated book for people of all ages, as you indicated, based on the first floor speech that I gave, where I concluded by laying out the American values that I believe have been important to our journey as a country over the 248 years that we've been in existence. I talked about foundationally American values over autocracy, benevolence, over bigotry, the Constitution, over the cult, democracy over demagogues, economic opportunity over extremism, and went through the entirety of the alphabet. Upon conclusion of the speech and traveling the country and speaking to people who indicated to me that they observed it and they thought it, you know, laid out in a compelling way who we are, the journey that we've been on, and what values, ideas, and institutions we think are going to be important to sustain us through turbulent times, and in part inspired by growing up as a young child, watching Saturday morning cartoons, including Schoolhouse Rock, and having been inspired and first introduced to Congress through that medium of communication on television while I was waiting for other cartoons like He-Man and so on and so forth to come forward, I said, well, you know, there's a unique opportunity here working with a young African-American illustrator, Shania Carrington, who's brilliant, and to collaborate on a book that uses the power of the alphabet and the power of illustration to sort of articulate, hopefully, a path forward that is anchored in what has made us the greatest democracy in the history of the world to date, notwithstanding the challenges of the moment and the challenges that we have consistently overcome in the past.
Right. Well, it is a great illustration of the values that you have demonstrated as a leader. You and I can get partisan on policy all day long and see the right and left or even the center of an issue. But the fundamentals of what you lay out in the book. And that, you know, that's how this whole experiment works in the first place. You know, when you talk about freedom over fascism, hopefulness over hatred, justice over judicial overreach, those things do matter, and they become much more important and stand in stark relief when put up against an individual who has authoritarian tendencies, but more importantly, he surrounds himself with people who want to execute on those tendencies. And so those words that you shared in that speech, and I do very well remember you're giving it, hopefully resonate in a way that people realize why we do this, why it's important that you do it, why you're where you are. And, you know, we can hold the country close as we, you know, still try to box each other out on whether or not we have a tax cut or, you know, a tax increase. And I think a lot of that, for me, growing up in D.C., having watched men and women come to my city over many years and leave the wrong kind of mark, I think one of the reasons people are excited about your leadership, not just in the Democratic caucus, but around the country, is that you are steadfast in leaving the right mark for the next generation to follow. And that's, we don't got a lot to that. You know, like we were just talking about the last member of Congress we were just talking about. That's not an example I want to level up to my grandkids. And so
you've been a tremendous example as a public servant. And as a highly successful strategist in winning elections. And it's just an honor to have this opportunity to chat with you. Appreciate your powerful voice at this moment. And I tell people back at home, look, a setback is nothing more than a setup for a comeback. This is a setback. And we've got to figure out what was done right, what was done wrong, what changes definitively need to be made so that we can more powerfully communicate with the American people about our ideas to make life better for them, particularly working class Americans. That'll be a project and an endeavor that I look forward to helping to lead over the next 2 years so we can get this thing turned around. I've told my colleagues that we've got one mission in two parts over the next 2 years as House Democrats. Stop Project 2025,
yeah.
Implement Project 2026, and take back control of the House of Representatives in 2 years.
There you go. Well, all the best of that. The country is going to need that that stewardship. So certainly for a lot of us who were there trying to support Joe Biden and then Kamala Harris in the face of the threat, you know, we're hoping and praying for your success. I appreciate your taking time to come on and to spend some time with us in conversation. Hope to get you back where we can talk about the Knicks. God bless you. We can talk about the Knicks.
But I look forward to that. Let's, you know, I ride or die with the Knicks, and we at least have a ray of hope there. And hopefully we'll have another deep playoff run.
Yeah, there you go, my friend. Everybody, I really appreciate and thank Democratic House Leader, Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries for taking him up to spend with us on this conversation of the podcast. Thanks, sir. You take care. Go do your vote thing, because I know, you know, there are probably bells and buzzers going off somewhere in the Capitol.
Thanks so much, Michael, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, my friend. Take care. That does it for our time together, folks. Until next time, be safe, be well. God bless you. And don't forget to do that voodoo and download and like the podcast and share it with your friends here on the Bulwark Network.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.